Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Brad Hayes, the word on everybody's lips is fracking. Now, fracking is a relatively new term, believe it or not. I have to tell you, I keep writing columns about it, and the spell check always says, I don't know this word. But the governor, who had been dilly-dallying on this, or shilly-shallying on this for a long time, finally said, I'm taking the advice of my environmental commissioner and my health commissioner, both of whom, interestingly to me, came out with a full blast against fracking. So one has to assume that they were thinking that all along and maybe had a thumb on their heads in terms of shutting up until this decision came out. What do you make of it all?
So New York becomes the second state in the union to do this, and other big states may follow. California is considering a similar initiative. So there is something about being kind of, I'll say, the first really big state to do this. And for Cuomo, you know, it seems like a win. 55% of New York voters approve of this. That's a nice mark. And if you look at the disapprove, it's only 25% of New York voters. That's a win. And I think interestingly, there was majority support within, I'll say, all partisan categories. Democrats approved it overwhelmingly. Independents approved. Even Republicans had a bare majority of approval within the state. So, you know, that's really interesting. And it also is fairly consistent with kind of the national numbers on fracking. While there's not majority opposition to fracking, more Americans oppose fracking than support it. So there is a lot of discomfort with fracking, and I think this kind of move may actually kind of set a new benchmark for other states.
Well, that's very nice, but I want to get to the nitty-gritty here. Why did Cuomo do it? He could have done it much earlier. He obviously was talking to these commissioners. They knew what they were thinking. My own take on this is that what he wanted to do was to re-energize his relationship with his left in the party. Got very angry at him. They voted for Zephyr Teachout, you may remember. Many of them did. Carried several counties as a result. And with one fell swoop on the fracking, he's able to bring sort of labor peace.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's perhaps the effect. I don't know if that was the intent or not. I mean, there are some real policy issues here. It is a win, you know, if you're looking at the left. And he needed that. There are lots of things that are continue to hang over Cuomo's governorship, including, I mean, I think the big one's the Moreland Commission that continues to hang large. It just doesn't sit very well. But I mean, in terms of the policy issues, I mean, there's still the issue of where the energy comes from, right? I mean, that New York is a big consumer, and 47% of the state's energy comes from natural gas. And so if it's not being produced within the state, it means it has to come from without. And that's problematic, you know, problematic in terms of the long-term viability of energy consumption at low prices. And this might be very popular when energy costs are low, but if energy costs begin to creep up, it becomes more problematic. So I think, you know, it's a complicated policy. And I think that there were lots of different angles at which to think about this. I mean, I didn't really fault Cuomo for taking his time. That's me personally, with a complex issue. But it looks like he came out with a decision that is quite favorable and which most New Yorkers support.
Yeah. I think I don't agree with your nuance here, Brad. I think I know the guy well enough to know that he's got his finger up in the air to make sure he knows which way the wind is blowing. And this was a politically expedient. But we can't get inside his head and really know those things. The real question here, as a professor, as you are, political science, is whether or not motivation counts or whether it's just a decision that counts.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's interesting to look at the his approval rating. He really hasn't received much of a bump in terms of his overall numbers. He's still sitting just above 50%. Now, this might have a kind of a longer rollout to this particular decision.
But only 8% said they would like to have New Year's dinner with him. In a recent poll.
Maybe that has to do with the cuisine. I'm not sure. But But I mean, you're right that there in that same poll from Quinnipiac University, 33% of voters said that they had a more favorable opinion of Cuomo because of this decision. Right, it may not move the needle that much, but it has had an effect, and that clearly does matter. And so, in that sense, it's a win for him.
Well, as a professor who studies public policy, I'm very interested in the fact that we have celebrity playing a hand here. We had Mark Ruffalo, the Hulk, who's been in this studio a couple of times, a great guy, and Natalie Merchant, who had produced the video "Dear Governor Cuomo," and Pete Seeger, who said, "If you take their money, you'll be go down as the worst governor in the history of New York." Are we seeing a new time in which celebrity is going to count in public policy?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think celebrities counted a long time in public policy, but certainly, I mean, when you're dealing with a place like New York, where there are lots of celebrities, it is a factor in policy debates, and it's been interesting to watch some celebrities be willing to engage in politics and policy, because there are risks for them as well. If in fact you begin to be associated with the left or the right, you may ostracize part of your potential audience. Studios may not like that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So but to see this kind of new activism, I think is interesting, and certainly I think useful for bringing our policy to people that may not otherwise be paying attention.
I only got 2 minutes, but I want to talk to you about the president's Cuban adventure now. He's opening things up in Cuba, getting a lot of very positive press for it, maybe not in some parts of Florida, but otherwise a lot of positive press. What do you make of it?
Well, I think this, probably along with things like immigration, part of that kind of more muscular policy-making posture that we've seen from the Obama administration since the election, although I think it's fairly consistent with what Obama has done, right? In both 2008 and 2012, Obama campaigned on the promise to engage with the world, even with those who are certainly not our allies and maybe our enemies. It's kind of the anti-Bush doctrine, change through engagements. He's done that with Iran, with nuclear weapons. And now there's discussions back channel about what to do with the Islamic State. He's done this with China on the environment. And now he's doing it with Cuba. So I think that's quite notable. As you mentioned, the public clearly approves of this. I mean, overall, there's clear majority support for this among Democrats. It's overwhelming. But even independents are approving it with a little over a majority of independents approving it.
And there certainly are some people on the right who see potential here for a little business with Cuba, which would include a lot of Republicans.
They do, but that appears to be a loser, at least to me, in my eyes. Jeb Bush has come out and said that this is an ill-advised policy. Rubio has said this as well. And I guess, on the flip side there, Hillary Clinton has advocated this for quite some time. So, I think it's to her benefit. But this, by having Bush and Rubio kind of stick to these old ways, they're from Florida, but that even within Miami and within that county, the embargo has waning support. This is very much a generational issue with older Cuban Americans saying that we want to continue this policy. But younger Cuban Americans, in fact, do not. They actually want to see engagement. They want to see Cuba open up. So once again, we see kind of the left erring for the young and for kind of more diverse and individuals in engagement, whereas the right kind of continues with older policies.
Professor Brad Hayes is Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College. We like to call him the Professor in Residence here at WAMC, and he holds a PhD in Government and Politics, and we're very lucky to have you, Brad. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.